and welcome to the WTF1 podcast, where we're going to be wrapping up everything that has happened in the Formula One world in the past week. I'm your host for today, Hayden Gullis, as always, joined by the incredible Amber Jones. Amber, it's been a busy week for Formula One in the off period. We've been between Japan and China. I've been away in Sweden. I've been
you
doing
have?
Something involving Formula One, but involving the Formula One sim racing side. So tell me, what have I missed? What has gone on?
Do you know what, Hayden? I think you've missed quite a bit. I think we should start with the calendar for 2025 has now been released. And there's lots and lots of comments on that because some people are quite confused. Some people are very happy. We see that Australia is back for the first race.
Very happy.
I'm super happy.
It just feels right,
doesn't it? It's like traditional.
It does. I don't know why, but Australia just feels right. And you think, oh, who wants to start the season, you know, European-based, who wants to start the season getting up at 4 a.m. in the morning? But you know what? That's the one time I'm excited to get up at that time. Like, if there's an FP1 at midnight, 1 a.m., it used to be like 2 a.m., I think it's a bit earlier now, but I will get up for that because I'm excited to see the brand new start of the season.
That's what it is.
Three, four races in, I'll be like, oh, do you know what? I already know Max Verstappen's dominating. Do I have to get up for this FP1? And then Duncan behind the camera's like, no, you do need to get up for FP1. You need to watch Formula 1.
That is your job,
I'm like,
Hayden.
Fine, okay, I'll pull an all-nighter. But for the start of the season, I'm like, yes, get me back in there. And it's a beautiful place to be. The vibe's always great.
Sunny, happy.
For it to be the start of the season, yes, 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 yes. I'm all for it.
I completely agree. I think because, you know, you've got the winter break and you're like, right, when's F1 coming back? You've got the car launches coming in. It is that excitement, but I know what you mean because now we're having, you know, maybe not consecutive, but races very close to each other that are all, you know, 4 a.m., 6 a.m. starts and stuff like that, which can be a lot on us as the fans, especially if you're watching the whole weekend and every night.
We only have to do it three times a year.
Well, yeah. We shouldn't complain, should we?
You're watching races just after you come in from a night out.
We shouldn't complain.
From Australia, it's like you're watching hours until like the early hours of the morning, and it's like, oh crap, I've got to get up for work in like 10 hours.
No, that's the thing. It's just it does really tire you out. So yeah, I feel so sorry for anyone else not in your rip that has to always get up for early races. But no, it's exciting. Another comment is that it's quite full on. The calendar again, especially with all the time zone differences as well, which is hard on, you know, not just the drivers but the teams and everyone. So there's a few, like, I'd say it's half negative, half positive comments because everyone is quite happy with Australia. I think that's just kept everyone like, oh yes, this is an okay calendar. We've also see Hungary and Belgium have obviously crossed over again, so gone back to its original place. And then Canada, as always, thrown smack bang in the middle of European dates.
Yeah.
So I think they're trying their best efforts, you know, make it more sustainable, keeping a lot of countries and time zones quite similar to each other, better for a logistic point of view. But yeah, it's quite a crazy calendar.
Yeah, very full on. We start off at the second week of March and then takes us all the way to the first week of December. 24 races. Yeah, it's quite full on. A few triple headers, especially around the sort of like the end of the season. And then there's like a 3 week break after Silverstone before Belgium. And then you've got Belgium, Hungary back to back. And then another 3/4 week break for the summer break between Netherlands. I don't know if that's just them sort of giving a longer period of summer holidays. So between Britain and between Belgium, there's an opportunity to take time off between those two. And then Belgium, Hungary, very full on back to back. And then, oh, this is lockdown. This is, you know, nobody's allowed to work anymore for the actual official summer break. So I'm not sure. I'm interested. My one question about this calendar, because now we go to Australia for the start of the season, is where do we go for testing? Because we've all, for the last few years, we've always gone to Bahrain testing because it's back to back with Bahrain. And it makes sense logistically because you kind of save money from going from one country then to another country. Instead, you're going to the same country. Now, I'd be very shocked and surprised if everybody's going to fly all the way to Australia to do testing a week before. Bahrain still kind of makes a bit of sense because it's kind of in the middle. But then again, would you then have to come all the way back to the UK or to Europe before then going over to Australia? So there is definitely that question there. Or is testing a few weeks earlier? And do we go back to what we've seen before where we go to like a Barcelona? Now, I know Barcelona is on the calendar. It's supposedly not going to be in the future because we're going to go to Madrid. So if Barcelona comes off, then testing can certainly happen there because it's a different track and they can put in that horrible little chicane. So they've got three different sectors that are different.
Yeah.
Or we can go to France because it is literally a test circuit.
Yeah.
Is
I mean, hopefully it's not a sustainable nightmare, because I think if they do anything that's kind of too out of the blue, then people are definitely going to comment on that. If they went back to Barcelona, I would be a very happy girl. I'm definitely gutted to see it off the calendar, but then I love Madrid as a city. Your favourite city, Hayden, we know. We spoke about this before. So I'm quite gutted, but then also it's quite bittersweet, because it'd be quite nice to see Madrid come to the calendar, but then it's a street circuit and I don't know how I feel about that. So if it's Barcelona, I would definitely be super happy.
Yeah, it'd be a cool place to go for testing. Jerez was really, really good back in the day. It was, when was the last time? Jerez was like maybe 2014, 2015, around that sort of time. It's the last time I went to Jerez. But it's a really cool circuit. And again, another one that's quite good sort of go-to for testing, that a lot of other series go to for testing as well. So it'll be interesting to see where they go. Definitely like to hear everyone else's opinion on this and what track they think you guys at home think that we would go to for testing in the future. Where would you like to go? So pick any circuit, where would you like to go for testing?
Oh, well, now Barcelona's just stuck in my mind. But if it was like any track.
Yeah.
Anything, and there's no, you know, there's no problems, no other variables.
Yeah, any track.
It can't be, oh no. I'm really going through all of my favourite circuits, and it can't be any of my favourites. A lot of my favourites actually are street circuits, just to contradict myself, or street circuits. No, Hayden, I'm sticking with Barcelona.
Okay, Barcelona.
I'd love to go, because, you know, the weather can be quite unpredictable then, because it's not hot yet, really, is it, in Spain? Sometimes it can be rainy. You never know.
It snowed once a couple of years.
Yeah, you just never know what you're going to get, really.
So
I'm going to... Oh, should I say Australia? No, that's too... We'll stick with Barcelona before I go down a whole rabbit hole.
I'm going to go Le Castellet. I'm going to go France, just because it's a test circuit. You've got so many different configurations of a circuit that you can change it up between days, and you can test different cornering styles, medium speed, slow speed, high speed, all those different configurations of the circuit. It is literally a test track. You can even get rain on there if you want to test what these cars are like in the wet. So I think that's the best place.
Well, then again, should I change my answer to maybe...
No, stop copying me.
Let's say China.
China.
I think that's a great
circuit. Everyone's going over to China.
You said we can take out, you know, different variables. Let's just pretend that China is like a very easy location for everyone to get to. Yeah, I might say China then, because that's got, you know, loads of straight, super tight corners. Yeah, I'm going to say China.
Absolutely deluded. I'm not listening to you anymore. This is despicable behaviour.
I've definitely heard that before.
Speaking of China, it is, of course, the Chinese Grand Prix this week coming up. I'm very excited for it. One, because we haven't gone for so long.
Mm-hmm.
Two, because I'm so happy for Zhou to have his home Grand Prix finally in Formula One, despite it being cancelled so many times. But also, one big reason.
Come on, Hayden. What is it?
Is that we haven't been there since 2019.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't done any running on these brand new cars. It's also been resurfaced, and we're only going to get one practice session before getting into qualifying, sprint quali, sprint race, and then the race. So this could quite possibly be the most chaotic race we have had so far, or it's going to be super boring and Max Verstappen dominates. But please, don't want that.
Well,
super exciting, chaos, bring it to me.
Speaking of Max Verstappen, he's not a very happy man about this format now. He's saying, why should we have a sprint race on a track that we haven't been to in many years? Like you say, we've not tested these new cars with the ground effect. We don't know how it's going to happen, what's going to play out in that race. So for him, he thinks that's a bad idea. And you know what, Max? I'm going to agree with you. Why would they do that? What made them think, do you know what? Yeah, China, we've not been here for years. Let's just test it out. Is it to make it more exciting?
Moolah.
It's all about the money. I just want to take that out, Hayden. I just don't want to believe that it's just about the money. But
China's never really excelled at selling tickets for that race. It's in Shanghai, but it's not really in Shanghai. You know, it's like an hour away from the city.
Mm-hmm.
It's also in an industrial area. It's not really near anything.
Mm-hmm.
So not a lot of people go there. They don't sell out grandstands to the point that you always see before the long back straight, there's like advertising like covering the grandstands. And that's just to actually make money off those, because people don't buy the seats. Two things that hopefully will make people come to this Grand Prix is, one, being a sprint race and also not having it be there for so long. Secondly, hopefully the Zhou Guanyu effect. He's very popular over there in China. So hopefully that effect will see it's sell
some
out,
more ticket sales. More I mean, but would a sprint sure. race do that? Because sprint races have had so much backlash from drivers, from fans. You know, some people don't like it.
It's
they're
just
like
more action, I suppose. So rather than going on a Friday and you're just watching practice and you're like, okay, I'm not really too interested in that.
Yeah.
You go there and you'll watch a quali session.
There's stuff every day then that potentially is more at stake than just practice sessions. Yeah, I see what you mean.
I understand from a driver's point of view, it's like, I haven't driven on this circuit in so many years. It's been resurfaced. It's a brand new car here. Could I just have like a little bit
now
of testing?
Now you want us to do
I have a
sprint
little
race.
Bit of prep, please.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I guess that does make sense. Do you know what, though, about Joe? I've got a little fun fact for you here. So I was working at it was a motorsport event and I was presenting. It was for a British F4 driver. And there was a Netflix team, but it's like the equivalent of, it's like Chinese Netflix. I don't know. It's a different platform, but very similar to Netflix. And I was talking to them and I was like, oh, what are you doing? They're like, we're filming a Joe documentary. And I was like, oh, really? It's gone out now. Mm-hmm. So I can say I was nearly a part of a Joe documentary and I actually nearly got Hayden on that. Didn't remember I texted you and I said, they're actually looking to speak to people that, you know, have know Joe, have spoken to him and I know you had. So that documentary is out now. I don't think we can watch it though. I think we can only watch it if you're in China. But if you're a Chinese fan and you have access to that, definitely watch that documentary and know that me and Hayden were nearly in that documentary.
Or just get yourself a VPN.
Yes.
Can probably watch it that way.
Or do that. That's my fun fact of the day.
Nearly a part of that. So that's China.
Yeah.
Should be an exciting race. What are you going to go with for your top five? Before you've seen any action.
This is quite difficult because you just don't know what's going to happen. So if I just try to make quite a boring guess of like, okay, who's the top teams and what's going to happen? It's just a typical guess. Max, Perez. Oh, I don't know about Perez. If you want a quick fire answer, I'm just going to go Max, Perez, Sainz. Oh, that's so boring though. Max, Perez, Sainz, Leclerc, and then throw McLaren in there.
Yeah,
that's so boring.
But it is the correct answer.
It's so boring, that answer.
That's the rubbish state that Formula One is in at the moment.
I want to spice it up.
You can literally predict the top five and get them wrong by a couple of positions, unless anyone has a massive problem. And that is the problem we're in.
No, well, I guess we should speak about P5. That's probably the most interesting one. Because if you're going to put the Red Bulls and the Ferraris for the top four,
I don't think so.
Who are you putting for
P5? I think that in qualifying is a bit more difficult. But over the course of the race, I feel like it's super easy. Now, this is where it's going to go wrong and Fernando's going to absolutely smash it out of the park. I think the only people that can maybe sneak themselves in there, Fernando and Russell, are the two people outside of either Red Bull, Ferrari, McLaren. They're the only two drivers.
Because
Lewis is just
P5.
Having a bit of a stinker so far this season. I also do think it's a little bit because he's gone off to Ferrari and they're like, okay, cool, well, we're just going to prioritise George. Completely fair. He's their future.
Yeah.
Lewis is basically their past. So, you know, it's completely understandable.
Yeah.
And then, you know, as much as I love Lance Stroll, Fernando's, you know, 19 times out of 20 times going to beat him across the season.
So nice to Lance Stroll.
I love him, but
so
you know,
kind.
He did beat him in Australia. You know, Stroll did beat him in Australia.
That's why, you know, this isn't about this podcast, but we do a fantasy podcast as well about Grid Rival. And he's actually a really great person to have because sometimes he performs really well. And if you put him as your double points, as your star driver, you get loads of points.
Loves
so there you go, Lance Stroll.
He's absolutely awful at qualifying. Unless it rains. Unless it rains. He's good at qualifying in the wet. Any other time, just give him the day off. So that would be a very simple top five. My top five, Verstappen, Perez, Sainz, Leclerc, Norris. No, Piastri. No, Norris, Piastri, Norris, Piastri.
But you were talking about Alonso and Russell.
I said that they are the two outside of those top three teams
that
could maybe sneak it in there.
Yeah, I'm just going to stick with the McLaren and just put Lando.
Okay, so we basically got the same, but we switched out P5.
Unless we just spice it up and say Perez just has an awful
time.
It's
going to be the craziest race in the world.
Yes.
Yuki Tsunoda is second because Joe wins his
home
race. Yep. Then we get
Lance
Stroll
third. Exactly.
On the podium,
and we'll just throw in Alpine up there. Why
Logan
not?
Logan Sargeant in fourth and Pierre Gasly in fifth.
Yeah. Do you know what? We should just do our own race. Should we just have like maybe like an app and we just do that and everyone watches the app?
Could you imagine if that actually happened? These scenes, if that actually happened.
I think we're going to see a crazy race at some point this season when it's super wet. Super wet.
At some point.
Crazy.
You have high hopes this season. I think we might get one crazy season
just
if we're lucky.
One. Just something. Like just everyone's spinning off. It's really wet. They're talking about, oh, do we cancel the race or do we not? Like we've seen in previous years. And then next minute, you've got a crazy winner like Lance Stroll.
Well, something has to happen because we've already used up very early on this season our non-Max Verstappen win.
We have.
So that means...
Or are we going to see it again?
No. We only get one per season, sadly. Okay. So Max is winning the rest of
those. There's no more.
No more.
Why don't we just do like a rain dance every time? Even if the country doesn't really have a lot of rain.
Because we'll Max just is...
I know, he's great in the wet.
That doesn't help.
But maybe something goes wrong with the reliability of the car and then it's raining.
Rear brake duct problem dance. That's what we need. Just fire.
Everyone do that.
Fire. That's what we need. Okay, right. Speaking a little bit about Aston Martin, Fernando Alonso.
Yeah.
Fernando Alonso this week has announced that he is not leaving. He's staying. Tried to replicate Sebastian Vettel's retirement video of where he comes down, he sits on the chair. Didn't do it in black and white, though. Was disappointed. Should have done it in black and white.
Maybe
really,
he did want that difference.
Really do that callback to Vettel.
He's trying to copy, but make it his own.
Yeah. And then just literally the like press thing that was the email that was sent out to all the press was just like, I'm staying.
Yeah.
Or something like that. So what do we think? Fernando Alonso, he's got another couple of years at Aston, guaranteed. But he has also alluded to his contract being a lot further than that.
Yeah.
And not necessarily, he kind of hinted towards it not necessarily being a driving contract later in the future, but like an ambassador role for many, many years to come or a job within Aston Martin for many years to come. So could be an interesting one for him.
Yeah, because you never know what's going to happen. I was actually really not surprised. I think a lot of people were like, oh my gosh, he's going to stay. That Mercedes seat, like he said openly before, that is not appealing to him at all. Now. And even like for me, just looking in his brain, not knowing him whatsoever, is why would Alonso want to go to Mercedes? So I knew that was ruling out. And then that didn't really leave me with any other places to put him. But I just know Red Bull, they were just going to stay. They're going to stay with Perez.
I know they are, but please.
You know, I thought he's not going to Red Bull. It's not happening. So when he's like, I'm staying at Aston Martin, I was like, yeah, good on you. I know some people are thinking why he should progress, but he's not going to leave the sport if there's no other seats open for him.
Progress, you know?
Exactly.
They progress you massively never know. To get themselves, you know, you look at them between 2022 and where they are now.
Yeah,
that's a massive progression.
Well, a lot of people are commenting. I don't know how much I agree, but once the new rules and regulations come in, it might be a stinker for Aston Martin.
But it could be
a stinker for anyone.
Yeah, it could be literally. It could be a stinker with anyone. The regulations really chopped and changed up the field. Red Bull were smashing it in 2013, and they were with Renault engines. And then you know you get the new engine regulations, and Renault were nowhere. They had literally one of the worst engines in the field. And
then you have to start again.
And Mercedes were like, hello, we are now dominating. Ferrari also, their engine sucked for a couple of seasons. So, yeah, anyone can get it right.
Yeah, you never know. I'm happy that he's staying with Aston Martin, though. Until another seat becomes open, you know, so let's say Red Bull, like, yeah, we're getting rid of Perez. Now we've got our second seat open and everyone's fighting for it. Hayden? No more of this nonsense.
Yeah, that is delusional.
That is so much nonsense. Yeah. And people are still talking about it. And I'm like, come on. Like, at some point, I think Verstappen will ever go to Mercedes.
I think there's a lot more talk on the outside of what's going on outside of sport because there's very little to talk about when the sport is actually on TV.
Yeah.
So
everyone is speculating on these random
They're
issues.
Just coming up with random rubbish just to be like, look, Formula One still here.
There's still stuff going on. What did you think of Alonso signing with Aston Martin?
Yeah, I mean, I like it because I do believe that Aston Martin's a team that can continue to progress. They're doing all the right things to progress. Making incredible facilities, trying to hire the right people, and trying to build a car that will put them at the top. And I've said this many, many times about like when Fernando left Alpine to go to Aston Martin and people are like, why is he doing that? Aston Martin's a rubbish team. Alpine's much better. Aston Martin and Lawrence Stroll said, this is what we're going to do and this is how we're going to get up to here. I want to get up to here and this is how we're going to do it. Alpine have never really shown that to me. They've just said, this is our target to go here.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, so how are you going to do that? Well, we're just going to build a car that can get there. Yeah, but how are you going to build the car? Like, how are you going to upgrade everything like within the base? And so, you know, that's available to see now that they're at the back of the grid and that they're struggling massively because, you know, they haven't got... They've got the ambition, of course, but they haven't got the right tools to be able to create something that can push them further up the grid.
Yeah.
Whereas Aston Martin certainly have and can certainly have that ambition to do that. So, I see Aston Martin being a team that can able to progress. Yes, okay, they need to get it right with the engine, and that's mainly relying on Honda. So we'll have to see how they perform.
Yeah, definitely. Because I think if you look at Aston Martin, I think their positions are quite random at times, because you can have Alonso at, like, you know, P5, but then Stroll's like P11 or P10 or whatever it is. But I think the fact that they sometimes can get higher up in those positions shows to be very promising for the team. Yes, if the regulations come in, it sets them back. But like you say, I do think they'll be able to come back. If you've got a strong, dominant figure like Lawrence Stroll that has got money to pump into the team, like you say, with the factory, it's beautiful, it's bigger. They really want to take this team to new heights. I think they will do that. So that's why I always back Aston Martin.
Yeah.
And I love their team values. I've always commented that I'm not a huge fan of Red Bull's team values, but they take that quite aggressive route, which sometimes you have to take, which is fair enough. To win, you have to do that. But I feel like Aston Martin take that more silently aggressive route, you know what I mean? And you've got an aggressive driver like Alonso that is going to push that team back up. So big up Aston Martin. I'm a massive Aston Martin fan.
Yeah, I think also they said at the beginning of the season that the car's not going to be where it was at the start of last season. So don't expect us to always be fighting for the podium and stuff like that. And, you know, I think that certainly showed. But I also think that they are, it's positive in the sense that they're not where McLaren were when they were redeveloping their car in terms of going with a new philosophy. You know, McLaren dropped right to the back and then built up across, you know, halfway through the season, were able to then have a car that can fight for consistent podiums. Sadly, not quite race wins. That Red Bull was just far too good, but certainly the podium consistently week in, week out.
Yeah.
Aston Martin haven't dropped that far back. And yeah, we're only four races in. So McLaren, it took them till Austria / Britain when they were able to have a car. So maybe around that sort of time, we go to Britain. Obviously, Aston Martin's right next to Silverstone. Is definitely a good place for them to be able to ship over a lot of their upgrades, because it's literally just down the road.
Yeah.
So, yeah, hopefully around then we can maybe see Aston Martin as a team that can be a little bit closer to Ferrari and McLaren. Potentially even close to Red Bull, but I'm not holding my breath on that
one. I'd love to see
that. Yeah, I'd love to see that. That'd be amazing.
I'd love to see more Aston Martin podiums.
Title charge. It could just flips. And then Alonso is just bam, bam. Then we're watching Fernando Alonso dominance and we're like, oh my God, this is amazing.
Yes.
So we're like, yeah, this is a bit boring now too. but it could make the championship exciting with a late catch up. You never know. I think that's hoping for a little bit too much, but hey.
You never know.
We've
got to
be optimistic right now. Because it's very, very dull. So we need that
just
optimism.
A smidge.
But yeah, no, I think it's good for him to have it settled. Like you say, Mercedes, not a good option, not a pretty option for him.
No.
Red Bull C, I think Perez is doing a good enough job right now. But I think Helmut Marko came out recently and said that Perez needs to not have like a contract early on, because he needs this motivation to perform well. And I think that's kind of right in a sense, because when he got that contract signed, like I think he won in Monaco, and I think that was 22, because last year he won what, Saudi and Baku, I think, and then it wasn't too long after that he got announced for a new contract then as well. So I think he needs a later in the year contract to keep on the pressure, to keep on performing and get those P2s across the line, rather than kind of settle and sit back and be like,
because he's
okay,
like
cool.
I've got a seat, it's fine.
Yeah,
wow. I think that's just a lot of psychology going on there with Red Bull. Because if they're like, okay, yeah, we need to keep his mentality.
Yeah.
I need to win. I need to prove myself to make sure that he does that for the team before giving him that contract. It just shows you how smart they are with what they do. I do critique them quite a bit, though.
Mercedes and Bottas had a similar thing. Where...
But I guess you need to give that second driver a bit of fuel. If they're just like, oh, yeah, I'm cruising about. I'm going to try and get some nice positions. I'm never going to win. They can relax, and you just don't want that in a team. You want them to still fight, but then not fight too much, because you're the number two driver. So let's keep our number one driver doing all the aggressiveness or whatever it is. I mean, unless you're Max Verstappen at the front, you don't need to do anything. But then make sure that second driver just keeps going. So I think it's very clever. But then it's also quite, what's the word I'm looking for? It's not savage, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I think a bit savage.
Just a tiny bit, not too much.
A little bit.
But it's quite clever what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, it helps you get the best out of the driver and over the course of a season. You know, as long as he's finishing in P2 in the championship, I think it'll be unlikely that we see someone else in that seat, which kind of then shows where does Carlos Sainz go?
Well,
does he go to
there's a lot
Mercedes?
Of rumours of that now.
Mercedes
that
is an option, but it's only a year option, really, because I think they want Kimi Antonelli in there. So, yeah, it's only a year option. But with doing a year in Mercedes, you then go to Audi after that. Now, the problem with that is I don't know whether Audi's an exciting prospect just yet. Like, it could be a good team in 2029, 2030, maybe, because it's going to take them time. I mean, they might come straight out of the blocks and be, like, a strong team. Who knows?
Yeah.
But I think it could take a little bit of time. So, therefore, you're wasting time as a Formula One driver, especially Carlos Sainz is kind of around that sort of peak age.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's going to want to kind of get a move on a little bit.
But I think if he gets offered that seat, he would take it, wouldn't he?
It's Merck.
No to Audi. Yeah. I think if there's no other options, he has to take it to stay in Formula
One. At the top five teams, other than that, who else really is there?
Yeah.
Unless you go to a Williams that have ambitions, but I don't really think, I think they're quite a bit off.
Way too low.
Alpine, but then again, put off a miracle, who knows?
But if he got offered a Williams, would he take it?
I think it'll take whatever seat is available to him in F1, because I think it's very easy once you're out of F1, it's very difficult to get back into F1.
Yeah.
Even though people, when you leave, go, oh, you know, this guy shouldn't leave. He's a great talent. He shouldn't be out of sport. I think it's very easy for other people to be performing out track, and you have that recency bias to very easily, sadly, forget about a driver. Nico Hülkenberg had it, you know, and then every time he came back and did a one-off performance, it was like, oh my God, this guy's amazing. Give him a full-time
seat. He's actually quite good.
And a couple of races go past and it's like, sorry, who's Nico Hülkenberg again? So, it's very difficult once you're out to get back in. So for him, he will want certain seats. Possible. Obviously, that Red Bull seat is like, this is what I want. Then it's a little bit further down. Okay, Mercedes is what I want. And then it'll come down and it'll be like maybe Audi or... Mm-hmm. But I think Audi would go for him.
Yeah, and I think he'll take it. But there are rumours that he has signed a contract with Mercedes. But then again, it's rumours. It might be a load of rubbish. It might just be people, like you say, making stuff to talk about because nothing going on track. But I think he will take that seat. If he gets offered it, 100%, he's taking that seat. And I'd be quite happy to see him in the Merc because I do think they'll make a comeback soon. Whether it is, you know, 2026, I do think it'll be a good and strong option for him. And then, yeah, I guess if Audi can make a good name for themselves, I think, it, like you say, it will take a few years for them to really come back up. But you just don't know. They might surprise us. They might be amazing straight away. So I hope that's Carlos Sainz's fate. I hope we don't see him out of the sport.
Only time will tell.
Mm-hmm.
Without any further ado, let's get into the first spicy take, spicy hot take.
Let's
of the
find
week.
Out.
Ferrari, this one comes in from at Pnisco. I hope I've said that right. They say Ferrari should have never signed Lewis. Full stop. There, I said it.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is a very, very spicy hot take, but super debatable. And this is why I'm like, I think we've commented on this before, Hayden. Me and you have chatted about this before. That was it a good decision? Because right now they've got two strong drivers.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you want to change that? They're doing great for you. Carlos Sainz is making absolute moves. You've now dropped Carlos Sainz. Was it the right decision for Lewis Hamilton to come in? I'm going to take away my Lewis bias, okay? I don't know if I'm going to say it. Because I think he's an amazing driver. We're just not seeing that at the minute. Maybe it's a mentality thing. Maybe it is the car. Whatever's going on at the minute, maybe because he's going to Ferrari, he really is like, you know what? I'm not going to try too hard in the Mercedes. But I just feel like it's Lewis Hamilton. So I don't think he would do that. I think he would still push. But I maybe wish they left it like a year or two later. Because, yeah, this hot take is spicy enough that there is quite a lot of truth in it.
Yeah. Okay, let me delve into
this. Oh gosh, Hayden, come on. I'm hurting here.
You put on your Lewis Hamilton bias back on again and just cry in the corner a little bit. Yeah. And I'll delve into this. Okay, so Lewis Hamilton not having a good start to the season. Bit of recency bias is going to say, yeah, okay, he's not great. But, you know, you can only go off the past results, so that's a fair point still. Has he been that great? No. Is Russell beating him? Yes. Okay, so let's get that out of the way. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's having a good start to the season. I do believe that there's a little bit within the team. Once a driver leaves, then you're less like, okay, cool, we're interested in that driver anymore. You're not really. I mean, Sebastian Vettel at Ferrari, he wasn't that great compared to Leclerc in 2019. Mm-hmm. Between 20, he was just like massively off, like scored less than half the points, I'm pretty sure, compared to Leclerc in that season. So I think we could be seeing something similar between Lewis and George, just because, why would Mercedes put all their eggs in that basket? They're going to give George all the upgrades first. They're going to really go with George in terms of how do you want this car set up? Where do you want to go? So that sets them up for 2025. But Ferrari do have two incredibly strong drivers. You know, you look at it right now, and if you were to get rid of one, if Lewis Hamilton has to be there, then you probably, at the moment, by recent results, say you should take Sainz over Leclerc. You look at the results of the team. So that's if Lewis Hamilton massively has to, like 100% has to come in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a really tricky one.
It's a tough one, but I still think that Lewis in the Ferrari
is a good decision.
Is a good decision. And that is maybe just the copium speaking.
Mm-hmm.
I'm taking a lot of copium this season for Lewis Hamilton so far. And that, so take that with a, not just a pinch of salt, but just get the bucket out and take it with all that salt. Because I'm not an expert, but I am a fan. Mm-hmm. And I want to see Lewis Hamilton be the driver that he has been for every team that he's driven for so far. And I would love to see that at Ferrari. And I'd love to see him challenge for a title. That'd be insane to see.
To get him back there, that's
get the eighth would be incredible at Ferrari. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone's a Ferrari fan. Even if you're not a Ferrari fan, everyone's a Ferrari fan. Sebastian Vettel said it perfectly. And I would love to see in the red get the eighth title.
Do you know what the problem is though, Hayden? I think this is where Formula One gets complicated, because you can have many favorite drivers. It's not like football where, you know, you support one team and if you support another one, it's crazy, it's outrageous. Like, because I remember I told a few people I support Liverpool and Man City, and everyone
that's a bad choice.
That's only because I lived in Liverpool.
My favorite drivers are Max Verstappen and Lewis Hamilton during the 2021 season.
Do you know what? I did actually make a few of those comments, but I really retract them. No, so that's the same thing that, like, you can't in football, you can't support two teams, especially that are fighting against each other. But in Formula One, you can support drivers, even if it is a Max Verstappen, Lewis Hamilton. You can support them.
On the grid at the moment.
Exactly. This is the problem. It's like, we love Charles, we love Carlos, and we love Lewis. Now they're all put in this predicament. Well, not really, because Charles staying, but it does make it difficult because you want to back Charles, but you're thinking, no, Carlos is doing better, so maybe Carlos should stay. You want to back Lewis. You want him to be in Ferrari. Like you said, it's going to be amazing for everyone. It's going to be amazing for the team. I think the marketing it's going to bring to Ferrari as well, which doesn't need it because it's Ferrari, is just going to be out of this world. But because of Lewis at the minute and because of how Sainz is performing, it might not be the right decision. And I think if Lewis gets into the car and doesn't perform very well, he's going to get so much stick from everyone. Why did you do that? It's the wrong decision. So this is chaos. If you can't hear it in my voice, it's chaos in my mind at the minute. But I think I agree with the hot take. I think maybe they should have brought him in 2 years down the line, or a year down the line.
But isn't that too late? I don't know.
Because he might be a goner at that point.
I did hear on the grapevine, the rumours that Lewis Hamilton did try and get in at Red Bull, and so did Fernando Alonso, and they were both told no.
I understand.
Ferrari the next best option.
Yeah.
I completely understand why he wants to get away from Mercedes. Something clearly isn't working there. The car isn't looking great. 2026 is a bit more like, you know, we might have a good car here, but then that's a might and also a few years away for a driver that's turning 40 soon. You can't just go, yeah, sure, I can wait a couple of years. No, you have to go into the best team that you possibly can right now. And for him, it 100% is the right decision. Get in the Ferrari, see what you can do. But for Ferrari, is it the right decision? They have two incredibly young drivers.
Who are doing really well.
But then I think the problem that Ferrari has having two incredibly great drivers is that you have two drivers, similar ages. Well, Sainz is a bit older, but still in that sort of peak performance age, where you're going to get to a certain point where you need to pick a number one, and they're going to be like, well, which one of us is going to be? And then you're in a sticky situation. Whereas with this dynamic, Lewis Hamilton, I still think, is like a Fernando Alonso and will keep on going until he's either got the eighth or just wants to set that boundary even further. Mm-hmm. So then once he's done, Charles Leclerc, number one, he's learned loads from Lewis. He's number one. He's clear. He's like a Max Verstappen-esque driver. And he's got a number two alongside him, like Max has with Perez, like Lewis had with Bottas. So it'll be interesting.
I mean, I guess Ferrari just have to be smart, though, because say if, like, Sainz stayed and then he was performing, like, way better than Charles for, like, two seasons, I would be like, you're the number one driver, easy peasy. Sorry, Charles, we wanted it to be you. But unfortunately, it's not going to be unless, you know, he really performs. But, oh, this is a dilemma in my brain, but a super spicy hot take, Hayden. I'm going to kick off and say this is a five.
Oh,
I'm going spicy. Yeah, you can't breathe at all.
Don't know what that was. But a four. I'm going to go for a four with me.
Okay, that's fair enough.
I think it's up there, definitely.
Yes,
lots to debate 100%. About. Makes me sad, though.
Yeah.
How dare you? Me. Okay, on to the next hot take. This one comes in from @FormulaOneDaily. Ocon is overhated. He deserves more recognition for the mega job he's doing.
He's
overhated.
He definitely,
he's underrated.
He gets a lot of hate.
Yep.
But do I think he's underrated? Unfortunately, there's nothing. I think he's a great driver, but there's nothing to me that stands out enough consistently for me to say, oh, 100%, he's so underrated. People need to respect him more. Mm-hmm. He's a great driver. He has shown that to us. And I think it was last season I was thinking, oh, actually, you know what? He's one to watch. Unfortunately, the Alpine car is not performing now. So I can't. There's not enough data for me currently. It's that recency bias.
Yeah, okay.
He's not doing anything right now.
Okay, yeah, recency bias. That's true.
But I can commend that he is a great driver. So put him in a different car or the same car that's just performing to its capacity where it should be, then maybe. But I think as well, it comes on the off-track drama. Unfortunately, with Ocon, he's a little bit cringy at times. And that's where some of the hate also comes in.
Bestie's on the podium, baby.
No. I think it's a mixture of that. You know, he's not in these cars that are performing super well. He's also being a little bit cringy off track. That's just his personality. Nothing wrong with that. We all love someone that's a bit cringe. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't like that. So I think it's a mixture of him as a person and a mixture of, you know, unfortunate circumstances in Formula One.
Yeah, I can kind of get the
cringe bestie
part, the SD bestie for certain. I think if you roll back his career, I do believe that I think he deserves to be appreciated more. He's got a race win under his belt. Yes, okay, it was a crazy race. Mm-hmm. Bottas went bowling, and and Max Verstappen had half a car that race, and Lewis Hamilton had to come through the field because for some reason they just wanted to take the race start by themselves and not go to the dry tyres when it's clearly dry. So I do think that, yes, he's got a race win under his belt. He got podium last season. He's had podiums before. I do think he is overhated. I do think he is underappreciated, but I don't think he's like, oh, he's underrated, so like people should put him in up in like the best category.
Yeah.
I think, you know, he's not really had enough time. He's not really had the right career path to show that for sure. But if you look at the teammates he has had, Perez certainly gave a run for his money. Alonso certainly did well alongside Fernando Alonso as well.
Yeah.
Up against Gasly at the moment. Gasly was someone that people were like, oh my God, this guy's incredible after he got dropped from, well, it was incredible, went to Red Bull, didn't do incredibly, got dropped. Oh my God, this guy's incredible again. And then he moves on to Alpine, and they've been kind of similar. I think Gasly had the upper hand in the standings last season. Ocon showing that he's got a bit more of the upper hand so far this season, but it's still very similar between those two. And then Ricciardo went at Renault. Yeah, Ricciardo did a better job, but I don't think he massively wiped the floor with Ocon. I think, yes, okay, he was the best driver. I don't know then.
It's difficult. It's nothing that stands out.
He's done
out.
Great against teammates, but he's not outshone teammates.
Yeah.
Whereas you look at someone, I don't know, like even like George Russell, for example, in the Williams days, okay, he outclassed his teammates. So you're right to say, okay, this guy's looking good. Goes to Mercedes, was very consistent, was on par with Lewis. And I think even last year, you know, Lewis did the better job. I think Russ was going through that. I'm going to make a lot of mistakes season.
Yeah.
And I'm going to learn from them. And then this season is currently a much better driver than Lewis is showing across the four races that we've had.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think Ocon has that in that sort of sense where you go up against a teammate and it's like, bam, you're beating him, or bam, this is wild. It's incredible.
Exactly. It's just, that's what I mean when I say, like, there's nothing to stand out from him. Like, to stand out in Formula One, you kind of have to be a bit of an aggressive driver, but also a consistent driver, a reliable driver. If you don't have those components, it's quite difficult. You get put under that midfield driver that's just, you know, good. Yeah. They've deserved their place in Formula One, but they're not standing out. They're not the Alonso.
You get a top team drive, but you're going to be a number two driver. Yeah. So you'll have a chance of a few race wins. Yeah. Your job is to back up your teammate.
Exactly, because they know that you're a good enough driver to do that. So, you know, you're not like a really awful driver and they're going to kick you out of Formula One anytime soon. Yeah. They'll keep you there, but you're just not doing anything to go, wow. I do agree, though, that he's definitely overhated.
Yeah, I think I see is the right
why. I mean, I would never, you know, be so bold towards these drivers. I think some people are quite bold, and fair enough if that's how, you know, you deal with things. But he's definitely he's overhated.
I think a good option for that Mercedes seat. I think he is a good option for the Merc seat, in a sense that you let George Russell become your lead, and hopefully he goes through a stage that Max went through, and he's going through a stage that Leclerc has gone through as well. And I think Leclerc's kind of still going through that, where you make those mistakes, you become a better driver from it, and you're super you're super consistent. I think Russell certainly has the pace to be up there, just needs to iron out those mistakes. But Ocon could be his Bottas, like could be his number two alongside him. But I do think that the problem with Ocon is he's a bit feisty out on track. Bottas was the perfect number two driver.
Yeah.
Lovely,
calm,
lovely guy.
Collected.
Had a great friendship with Lewis Hamilton. Points. And was consistent, always into Q3.
Yeah.
But so Ocon, I'm a bit like, but that, maybe that's just the immaturity in a sense that he's still quite a young driver that he's, you know, wants to prove himself, which is completely fair enough. But I think, yeah, I agree with it. Overhated, maybe not massively underrated.
Yeah.
Just overhated.
Just overhated.
I think that's...
So what are you rating this hot take, Aiden? It's difficult. It is.
Two.
Yeah, it's not too spicy. It's enough to debate. I think Ocon just, you know, we need to just see him shine. So I'm going to give it... I'm going to give it a 3, okay. I think. Because it's, you know, it's spicy enough to have a debate on it.
Just mid.
Yeah.
Medium.
Just your standard.
Okay, our last hot take of the day. This from at Sholando, 1604. I hope that's not your PIN number. Andretti deserves a spot on the grid more than Haas or Alpine right now.
Oh, the thing is with Haas, right? So if you said this maybe at the start of the season, yeah, 100%. Bring in Andretti. What are Haas doing? They just had a stinker. But now they've really impressed me. I think Haas are doing amazing. You know, they've swapped Steiner out, which was really sad. Brought Komatsu in, but I think that's really done them a lot of wonders. The car seems to be in a much better place. And they were saying at the season, oh, it's not going to perform well. I think it's performing fab. For what Haas, where they should be, really. So... definitely not Haas. Keep Haas in. I'm a Haas fan. Who thought I would have said that? I'm a Haas fan now.
I'm pretty sure you've said that multiple times.
No.
Mainly because you're trying to get free
Never.
Merch.
Haas, give me all the hats. But Alpine, yeah, it's a difficult one because we've had a conversation on they don't seem to look like they're pushing.
No.
They just seem to like, they want to get the car just a little bit better. That's it. We can stay maybe bottom end of midfield. We want a team that comes in and says, no, we're going to do the best that we can. And I feel like Andretti would do that. They might struggle when they first come into the season. Fair enough. It's a new team. They might have like 2 seasons that say, oh, this is quite difficult. The car's getting up there. The team's getting used to, you know, being a new Formula One team. Alpine, just they're really not doing anything for me at the minute. But it would be sad, I think, to lose them. I'd like to keep them. But if I had to replace them, yeah, 100%, I'd bring in Andretti.
Yeah, it's such an annoying point for fans, I think, that there's going to be a Concorde agreement assigned as well that kind of limits us to 10 teams only, which I just think is so backwards because I really love the prospect of having new teams. Not only new teams, it's very rare that you have a new team that wants to come in that has the backing behind them and the name behind them as such of Andretti. Like Andretti is not just a case of, oh yeah, it's Mario Andretti's name, that's all it is. No, it is a successful manufacturer team across so many motorsports. They're in Formula E, they're in IndyCar, they're doing very well in IndyCar at the moment. You know, they are a very successful motorsports company. And I think that Formula One would benefit from having a team like Andretti in the sport that would come in. It's like Audi coming in. Like Audi would love to have their own team, but they're deciding, okay, we're going to take over Sauber and we're going to work together with them and we're going to build a car with them who already have that experience and we're going to bring in the backing and we're going to make this team good and up the top. That's completely fair. That's how you want to do it. You know, I think it just massively limits us from having these manufacturers in the sport. Like if Audi comes in and does really well, then Porsche's option, because Porsche and Audi love to battle against each other, Porsche's option to come in is, okay, we can't have our own team. Who do we buy? You know, who do they look at? Haas is an American outfit. They have an English base set up, but they're an American outfit. Sauber's already ticked off. They're gone.
Yeah.
Do they go and buy RB? But RB's moving over to Milton Keynes to be closer with the Red Bull team. Although I've heard that they are officially now being called VCarb. They're moving away from RB. It's now going to be VCarb. So I
noted.
Have heard the rumour that they're going to be that from now on. Alpine could be a team in trouble, could be a team that could be bought out, but then you're just like, you have to buy out and there's always 10 teams. And I just think, yeah, I understand they've given their reasons. you know, they're allowed to give their reasons for it. Whether you disagree with them or you agree with them, mm-hmm. Formula One has given reasons as to why. I have given my opinion on why I think it's backwards before.
Which, you know, a lot of fans agree with that. I also think Andretti as a name, like we say, you know, it's so historic. There's a lot to this name. If you're a driver or a team member, you're proud to say, you know, race for Andretti or I work for Andretti. Mm-hmm. You know, when Jamie Chadwick races for them in Indy next, she's like, I race for Andretti.
Yeah.
So that will bring a lot to the sport, you know, even for fans that are like, oh, my team that I support is Andretti. So you don't really say that with Alpine.
But don't get me wrong, Alpine and Haas, they are, again, you know, historic names. Alpine, very successful in endurance championship. They're very, very successful over there.
Yeah.
And Haas have been, you know, historically in American series like NASCAR, for example. And I believe they've even been in Formula One before, way off in the past, like the 80s.
Yeah. But I think with Andretti, there's just way more pull, you know.
There's way more. I feel like it's not pull, but it's more like you put more trust in them to be a team that can come in and maybe move themselves up the ranks.
Yeah.
I think. Whereas an Alpine, as we've spoken about in the podcast that went out today, or the podcast that you're ever listening to, depending on which platform you're listening to or watching it right now, we said that they're currently going down the field because they don't have ambition or they don't have any backing to sort of push themselves back up. Haas, I think, are still finding their feet and it's still taking a long time because they don't have a lot of money and they don't have a lot of backing in the team, but obviously the cost cap is helping them out a bit more. But again, I don't feel like I can trust them to go, yeah, you can bridge that gap to that top five and get yourself in there.
Yeah.
And Andretti might take a long time, you know, certainly. But I still back them to have the people behind the scenes to go up there. And it's disappointing because they're building a big facility in Europe and they are even potentially going to try and enter F2 and F3 to really push for this spot in F1. And it's just a bit sad at the end of the day because you could have so many teams with so much history enter Formula One if you just opened it up slightly. And I understand you make an exclusive club, it builds the money for the people on the inside because people want to come in, they can't come in. Oh, if you want to come in, you've got to pay a lot of money. And then that's obviously, you know, it's going to help everybody who's already there to make more money. And if somebody else comes in, then that money's being shared about. So I understand the business point of view. You're not going to say as a businessman to be like, yeah, I don't mind losing a bit of money to help a friend out. Like, it just doesn't happen in business. So I understand it, but I do think it's a bit backwards. But do they deserve a spot on the grid more than Haas or Alpine right now?
What are you saying, Hayden?
I just think it's equal. I think they deserve a spot as much as Haas and Alpine. And I say that from a sense that I think they all deserve spots on the grid. I don't think Alpine, instead of like Andretti, sorry, to be like, you deserve a spot and Alpine and Haas don't, so kick them out of the sport and let's get Andretti in. No.
Mm.
I think they all deserve their spot on the grid because they all have different reasons as to why they should be on the grid. Haas, very successful over in NASCAR. You know, they've been in that series for so long. They're a name over there. Alpine made a name for themselves over in endurance. I think they deserve to be in Formula One. Haas deserve to be in Formula One. Andretti certainly deserve to be in Formula One. All of them do.
Yeah, that's where we're just going to differ slightly. I definitely think, Hayden, this is a spicy hot take because we have a bit of a debate. I do think Andretti deserved that more than Alpine because, you know, all of the teams have amazing history to them in different series and all over the motorsport industry. But with Alpine, you know, it was Renault, it went over to Alpine. And I just feel like they're dropping down the field. And maybe, you know, they can get back up there and it'd be bad. You swap them out, you bring in Andretti. Andretti now goes to the bottom. Alpine, potentially, in a parallel universe, in another world, they start getting back up the grid again. And we wouldn't know because they got booted out. But I definitely think it'd be nice to have that history in Formula One. Just to bring Andretti, let them be a part of Formula One. I just do think it's just a bit more meaningful right now than Alpine.
On the Alpine one, just quickly, who deserves a spot more in the sport, Alpine or Williams? And Williams have been where Alpine were.
Maybe this is where bias is coming in, because automatically I say Williams.
Both of them have won championships in the past. They've both been successful teams.
I definitely see your point. This is where the bias is just coming in.
That's where I'm saying that I think they deserve a spot in Formula One as much as anyone else does.
I do see what you're saying there, but I would say it's just probably just so much British bias of
Williams have won a lot more.
Williams, oh my gosh! But
Enstone is a British outfit. It's over in Oxford.
Yeah, I guess there's more personal bias to Williams than there is to Alfie.
You just hate
Hayden's
Alfie.
Calling me out here, isn't he? This is like interrogation. Well, I feel like I'm on The Apprentice,
no
the interviews.
It's coming my way.
I like Alpine. I support Alpine. But if it's Andretti or Alpine, you know my vote's going.
Yeah. I think
spicy.
I think I agree in that sense. If you had to pick one or the other.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree. Mm-hmm. But like I say, I think everyone.
But yeah,
I think
back
everyone
up all
needs
of
to be
them.
Opened up. And if people come with a bid that shows that they can compete, and they're not just going to be a case of Lotus, Marussia or HRT back in 2010 when those three teams came in and just sucked and were massively off the field. Okay, yeah, don't bring those teams in. But if a team comes in and go, look what we can do, then it's like, okay, cool. Yeah, you deserve that chance, for sure.
So what are you rating this hard time?
I'm rating it I think we had a really good debate. And yeah. I think you can really sit down and have good debates with people. But I do think the majority of fans will go lean certainly more towards the Andretti deserves a spot, because I think Andretti's such a successful name and Haas and Alpine haven't been that successful in recent years in Formula One. So I think I'm going to go with, even though we had a good debate about it,
you're going to go low.
I disagree that because I think everyone deserves a spot.
Okay.
But I'm going to go with a 3.
Oh, no, that's fair enough. Then you've not gone too low. I'm going to go just one above you, and I'm going to go with a 4. I think it's quite spicy. And like you say, a lot of fans will have a lot of debates on this, but probably leaning more towards Andretti. So I think that's quite spicy.
Thank you very much for listening to this week's WTF1 podcast. Thank you very much, Amber, once again,
thanks
for joining
for me
and debating those spicy topics with me. We'll be back next week for the next podcast where we dissect, hopefully, fingers crossed, is going to be a very chaotic
fingers
Chinese
and toes crossed
Grand Prix. As for now, though, enjoy the race this weekend, and we'll see you on the next podcast. Bye-bye.